Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, still remaining extremely concerned about what's happened with my wife and a growing assumption that E-System South is no more. I had a very busy day. I participated in a court hearing. It was done over the phone, and I was just simply an observer. The person pressing his case was David Tulis, and I recorded it as I listened in. And then a few hours later, I was on his radio program, and I did a short video introducing what I did. The title is "Mask Mandate in Court in Tennessee." The video is on, obviously, Kozlowska.org and YouTube. And I got traffic on YouTube immediately, which is just amazing for me. I got traffic on YouTube. I got a lot of traffic on Brighteon. For me, 10 views within a matter of minutes, which is kind of like, wow. And on BitChute, I'm over 35 within the first half hour, which is kind of like, gee. So I got about 50 views already in the... well within an hour, which, like I say, for me is kind of like, wow, because my most popular, well, not quite, because combined, it's the Project Veritas and the Printeress Whistleblowers is roughly 1,000 views, but otherwise the Bitcoin one the blockchain one is my most popular in BitChute, 500 and something. And of course, number three, Marriage Defined and Commitment Beyond. I really like that one because those people are cute. It was an interesting dialogue. I was able to mention my N-words video, and I got a couple of views in that shortly thereafter too. So I don't know if that was related or not. But that and a couple other things. And I got an email subsequent to that that I'm not sure is related, but because it was poorly worded. So there's the possibility it's the possibility it was just coincidence. I'm trying. The conversation with David was in reference to, the privacy concerns and the censoring that is going on. And so there's some dialogue happening with that. And of course, the mass mandate, the fallacy behind that and so forth. But I just thought I'd let you know, I'm pressing on with a whole lot of things. And, my position in the mask, because I looked at the evidence, I keep saying over and over again, we have decades of studies that show the masks are ineffective or cause harm to the wearer. The only reason people wear masks is because of the authority of the institution. Just like people bow to the institutional church. Can you find the institutional church in the Bible? No. I'm going to get long, aren't I? One other thing. Our friend Rob, the gentleman we met at Savage Gulf, which is, I just find this amazing. We're 30, 40 miles away from home, taking a hike. We're 3 miles into the hike, and we meet this guy, and we become friends. It's kind of like normal kind of things. But we've been exchanging some emails, and he does a little bit more lighter videos on obedience to Christ, and he said he did an 8-part series and he started releasing them, and I've watched 3 of them, and the first one he used the image of the Sistine Chapel, with Adam and God, touching fingers, that a very popular thing. And so I made some comments about his video and the you know, and I set a challenge before him. I said, okay, you use the image from the Sistine Chapel. I did too. In my video, The Creation Story, slightly embellished by A Man in Love, which I did for our 30th anniversary. And so I sent him the link and so forth. And, you know, and I set the challenge before him. And he responded by, I'll take up the challenge, which was great. And he gave me a link to a video he did for his anniversary, 40th anniversary with his wife. He did a video for that. And I think mine was better. He liked my humor, so I was pleased about that. But in my response to him, I acknowledged it, because again, this is a joyful conversation. But I quoted Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And, because I was celebrating with him the joy he has and the joy that I have known. And so that was done. And then for, you know, I have this, you know, since I have the LSV version, I do look at that, and it's slightly different. Whoever has found a wife has found good, and brings out goodwill from Yahweh. So it's very similar, but you know, only slightly different. But then the Septuagint, the one who finds a good wife finds favor, and he receives happiness from the Lord. The one who casts out a good woman casts out good things, but the one holding on to an adulteress is foolish and impious. So the Septuagint added some comments, and thus far I did see a comment in that about in the pulpit commentary from 100 and some years ago, because it is something that is an addition in the Septuagint that isn't in the original Hebrew. And what I don't understand yet, and I'm trying to find some more definitive arguments on this, because obviously when we read a quote in the New Testament of the Old Testament, it's a quote from the Septuagint. Because obviously the New Testament is written in Greek, and it wasn't translated on the fly, they used the translation they had. I wondered about that. I wondered a lot about that, and discussed it with Chris. We had a dialogue on that. But how does it fit? And I contend, when somebody makes the case from Scripture that marriage begins with sex and ends with death, this fits. Both the Hebrew version and the Septuagint version. It fits. The one who casts out a good woman casts out good things. That's the commitment. If you have a wife who is faithful, you keep her. Yeah, and that is my intent. But the one holding on to an adulteress is foolish and impious. And, you know, when you look at the Matthew 19 and even the Deuteronomy 24, it's consistent. Because there is a question of, if your wife is an adulterer, can you take her back? And going from the idea of marriage begins with sex and ends with death, you know, and the Deuteronomy 24 works, because the idea there is that a woman is released from her marriage, marries another, which is, you know, simply being adulterous. That's what happens. She cannot return. In the case of Mark 10 and Matthew 19, it fits, and it fits here too. It's fascinating. It also fits in the idea, because God and his relationship to the elect, God calls himself the husband, his elect, the bride of Christ. You see that in the Old Testament and New Testament. And when he sends away his bride, or you know, the those who reject him, there's no taking them back. You know, there is the idea, return to me and I'll return to you. But I would suggest, and I guess I need to study that some more, that context is not an individual, but a call to his elect, who may not have know that they're elect yet. That is probably the one thing I still need to study to understand how this fits. But what amazed me today, Proverbs 18:22, obviously in the Hebrew fits, and in the Septuagint really fits. And it does indeed show the magnificence of the Lord's relationship to his elect, his commitment to his elect, the call for a husband to reflect that with his wife, as I am striving to do with my wife, and the cost of violating that. I'm striving for reconciliation with my wife. I will not give up. My lady, I love you.